Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back again. You're with Reverend Harris, Reverend Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. from the West Coast Revolutionary here in Fresno, California. You're with me and Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're happy that we're on the air again tonight. We are doing a part two series today, and we started yesterday with dealing with a young African-American male, a young lady, in a public school in South Carolina, and we had a police officer, supposedly, who went in the classroom and, from my understanding, asked the young lady to leave, and the young lady disagreed. From that point, you can see the video. There's videos all over the country right now on YouTube. You can Google South Carolina. The one that I'm looking at, you can go to colorofchange.org, colorofchange.org. You can also go to my Facebook, Floyd Harris Jr., and you will see the information up on my wall. And I'm going to go ahead and repost it right now as we are speaking, because I think it's very important that we really look at what really happened here. There's a lot of dynamics that took place in this setting here when this, deputy sheriff, the heading for today is South Carolina Sheriff Deputy on Leave After Dragging Student from Her Desk. Dragging student. And the student is an African-American young lady who was being manhandled by this police officer. And so we we're lost of words, first of all. I'm lost of words. I can't even imagine that this is someone's daughter who this police just went and deliberately assaulted her. And so I'm going to read a little bit what's online right now. And please go to my Facebook, Floyd Harris Jr., and you will see the post. And I just reposted it. Floyd Harris Jr., please go there right now, and you can see the video yourself. I'm not making this up, but you can see the video yourself. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read some of the content that is on the website. It says, video of South Carolina Sheriff Deputy manhandling a black student in a high school classroom has prompted an investigation by local authorities after the footage was widely circulated on Monday. The video show a school monitor reported to be Ben Fields, who is also a Richland County Sheriff Deputy, confronting the female student. Now, understand, the female student did not have any weapons or guns or bombs or anything to that nature of sharp objects or anything, just a regular high school student. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read some more. When she refused to leave her seat in a classroom at Spring Valley High School in Columbia, he tells her, "I'll make you." He then wraps his arm around her neck, flip her desk backwards, then drag her across the floor. He arrested both the girl and a male student. According to a classmate, the students in question had peeked at her cell phone during class. When the teacher tried to take the phone away, the student refused to hand it over. And when a school administrator told her to leave the class, she stayed at her desk, which is when Fields came in. The sheriff department has placed Fields administrative leave while it's investigating the case. And we're gonna, and I'm going to talk about this paid administrative leave crap, because I'm just really sick of this paid administrative leave crap. You can assault our children, abuse our children, shoot our loved ones, and all of a sudden you just go home on a vacation. You can just go anywhere you want to, go to the beach, go shopping, go to the laundromat, go to the movies, and you're on administrative leave. I'm sick and tired of that, hearing that type of conversation right now, and we as a people need to change that. We need to change that. Okay, I'm going to go for a spokesman for the school district. Libby Roof said on Monday night that she that the administration was deeply concerned. We are investigating it along with the sheriff's office, she said. Everyone's investigating. So what are you telling me? The video is lying? What are we investigating? This officer assaulted our young sister in a public school, grabbed her around her neck, flipped her desk over, and drug her, just like many of our ancestors been drugged here in this country, being in slavery, drugged our sister to the front and handcuffed her, put his knee in her back. Okay, so I'm going to keep going here because we have Dr. Gene Kennedy, who is on the line waiting patiently to come on to really dissect this. He's an organizational psychologist, and I'm pretty sure we've been speaking about this throughout the day, and I know she has a lot that she wants to say. So I'm going to read some of this, and we're going to turn the show over to Dr. Kennedy so we can dialogue. For those of you who are listening online, please call in and ask some questions. I mean, we got to get more involved right now. Don't be one of those parents who say, oh, well, it's not my kid, so I'm not going to get involved. I don't care. Well, it could be someone's kid today. It could be yours tomorrow. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this, and we're going to let Dr. Kennedy come back on. It says, spokesman for the Richmond County Sheriff's Department did not immediately respond to the request for comments. Steve Benjamin, the mayor of Columbia, said in a statement, we cannot and will not accept this kind of behavior from a law enforcement officer, and I firmly believe that we need an independent investigation. This is the mayor of Columbia saying that he don't even trust his own internal. Listen to me now. The mayor of Columbia saying he wants an outside investigation. He don't even believe in his own police department internal affairs to investigate this case. All right, then it's on Tuesday morning, NAACP Legal Defense Front on Tuesday called the video shocking. Shocking. Well, I'm going to stop there because I want Dr. Gene Kennedy to come in and chime in on this right now. Dr. Gene Kennedy, welcome to your show, Real Talk with the Number One Doctor.
Well, thank you, Brother Harris. It's good to be here again with our listening audience. Hope my phone is a little bit better tonight. Hopefully I'll have something working better in the next few weeks. Neither here nor there. It is good that we're back on the air again, and I can see that this is still underneath your skin, Reverend Harris. The idea of a young woman who was sent to school to learn, to get an education, to be what they thought was in a safe environment, and then to see this video of attack, this violent attack on her. Yes, I think that this is enough to make any parent upset, and let alone a civil rights activist who says enough is enough. And why was this allowed? Why was this behavior? You see, there's something going on in this country. I mean, when I look at this situation, Brother Harris, and when I look at the Sandra Bland situation, this is from Texas, when we saw the way the police officer just lost his temper. I mean, it's on video, brothers and sisters. You don't have to take our word for it. It's on video. You can go in and Google and look at the way that particular police officer was yelling and screaming at the sister. I mean, she had to ask about, well, hey, this is all he did was pull me over because I had a light situation, a light out. I mean, you have to get so out of shape. Where is all of this extra anger coming from, these white police officers? What is this? Why is the white man so angry? Why is he just so over the top? And here we see a young woman in the classroom, and now here's a man, again, attacking this woman, attacking this young girl. just over the top again. What is this over the top of behavior? What is going on with our law enforcement, why they cannot control their anger, their temper? Are they not giving them any anger management classes? Are they not sending them to workshops? Are they not having in-house training, training development, staff development? What is going on? What do we as the taxpayer need to do to make sure that we are safe? It has become a real crisis for us in the Black community. We're afraid to be stopped by a police officer because we don't know if they're going to get out of control. Now we have to be afraid to send our kids to school because we don't know if the person who is handling the safety of the campus is the one that's going to be way out of control and over the top. And so, yes, I know that there are some of you that are listening to this show right now, and you're saying, well, Dr. Kennedy, you have to understand there's two sides to the coin. If Sandra Bland in Texas did not talk back to the police officer, he would not have gotten so angry with her. I have heard that. I've actually had people say that to me, text that to me, and say, you have to understand, my sister, that that if she had not had that conversation, if she didn't agitate him, if you didn't talk back to him, then he would not have responded that way. Listen to me. There is no excuse. When you are sworn to do your role as an office, you've got temper under control. You've got to keep your temper under control. You are the person who's representing your department. So, no, there's no excuse. And I will not listen to people who will talk about, well, we need to keep quiet. Why should we keep quiet? If that was a white woman that was having the same conversation, would he have gone off on her? And if he did, then the guy definitely needs to be reprimanded. So let us not be the ones who victimize the victim continuously. The same argument goes for the young woman in class. Yes, maybe there are some of you again that are saying, well, the young lady shouldn't have had her phone in class. Well, she should have listened to them when they told her to put her phone away. I get all of that. But, you know, there are those things are already in place. There are things that are in place to be able to deal with this lady. It doesn't take a police to come into the classroom and to throw the chair over with her. There is something radically, radically wrong with that sort of temper. And what we are seeing in the police force is that more and more of this temper tantrum is going on. Who is the terrorist in these situations? And when you have a police officer who's sworn to keep peace, but he has a badge that tells him he can do whatever he wants under the name of the law and is being threatening to the people that they're arresting or come in contact with, we have to wonder what is taking place with our police officers, with the Department of Correction. We see these things in the jail system, in the prison systems, we're seeing it on the streets. What is going on? Well, I hope I get a little bit of chance later on to talk about, to remind you that this seed of being tough on crime was birthed from the father of Reagan. Reagan is the father who birthed this behavior. And I hope I get a chance to read just a couple of paragraphs to remind you, the audience, of what it was that Reagan put into place that has caused this sort of anger and frustration to be coming out, the anger that's coming from the police officers and those who are in the Department of Correction, and the frustration from those of us who feel like we're being victimized over and over and over. And as I said on the show last night, our black skin should not make us criminal. My black skin should not make me a criminal. I should not be looked upon as if I'm a criminal simply because I have black skin. Reverend Harris should not, and many others should not. We should not feel because we are black that we are targeted, and yet there is so much profiling going on right now in the 21st century, right now in this America culture, right now towards black people. But it was birthed from this man called Reagan, who came on with tough laws, tough on crime, and has continued to perpetrate itself throughout all the existence. And we have to call it like it is.
There you have Dr. Jean Kennedy. Dr. Jean Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia. She is visiting us here on the West Coast. Dr. Jean Kennedy, we have a caller on the line. Before I want to get this caller here, I don't know if they have a statement or a comment. Maybe they agree, maybe they disagree. Maybe it's a police officer. I don't know. All I know is I see a phone number on the board, and I just want to be respectful and chime in on there. 5781-5781. Welcome to Real Talk with the number one. Doctors, do you have a statement, comment?
I have a question.
Yes.
My question is, what can we as parents do to help our children to protest in a way that won't get them hurt?
Good question, my
father. I have a question.
Good question, sir. What can we do that will allow our children to have the freedom of speech to protest? That is their right to protest, but not get them hurt. Well, Reverend Harris, talk a little bit about the training that your organization does and several others are doing, knowing your rights. And a matter of fact, even a Farrakhan organization is even training people to know their rights. And Reverend Harris does something very similar to his young people in his organization and others who are learning now what it means to know your rights. Reverend Harris, go ahead and talk a little bit about that. Great question.
Yes, thank you, caller. Very important. You know, one of the things I'm going to do, I'm the international president of National Network in Action, civil and human rights organization. You can go to YouTube, Google my name, and a lot of stuff will come up. But one of the things I'm going to put on our website, our international website, I have if you have the right to remain silent, random rights. But I'm going to post some information up there about school rights, what you have, because we work in collaboration with the ACLU. We made a booklet here in Fresno, different leaders. We came together, and it was approved legally by Fresno Unified School District, a booklet that gave our children their right in school. Now, I don't know if you're in California. You look like a different area code. But you're in Las Vegas. One of the things I would do is contact your ACLU, because California's a different state. So laws may be a little different, but it shouldn't be. But I will call your ACLU there and ask them for the education booklet so that you can give those pamphlets out to your children, family, and friends. That's one way you can start, by educating yourself and whomever that you want to educate.
Okay.
Another thing, Brother Harris, another thing for this caller. We need to get our faith communities involved in this. So this is not just civilians that are out there, but we need to begin to get our own faith communities involved. And let me tell you the reason why. At the end of the day, those houses of worship, those churches, those synagogues, the politicians have a lot riding on the stake, on the back of many of these churches and many of these ministers, many of these bishops and whatever other titles they use. And I know what I'm saying. I'm a preacher's daughter. I was involved at one point, married to a preacher, so I understand that. And I myself, and in the ministry. So I know what it is that it means to ride on the backs of our faith communities. And so I am saying to you that we also need to either be teaching these programs in the church and or have these meetings with our pastors. And the reason for that is when our children are in trouble, we make that phone call to those pastors who will make sure that they have in place a safety net. That means they make the phone call to that mayor. That means they make the phone call to that police officer. That means they make the phone call to their legislators and says, we have one of our members, we have a person within our community, we have somebody who's underneath this zip code that my church belongs to, and we need to make sure that they are handled to the best of their ability. You see, when the media is watching, when there is a group of people watching, when there are shows like ours that calls these things to the carpet and to the forefront, they are not likely to beat up somebody and disregard them and disrespect them the way they do what they do. They do that because they think no one is watching. And so we must begin to make them aware that if you come after me, that's why we don't do what we do in a vacuum, Reverend Harris and myself. If you come after me, you've got a listening audience that's going to ask the questions as to why were they handled the way they were. So again, what we're saying is that we want to make sure that we have our leadership in place. We want to make sure that our children are educated. Reverend Harris is talking about the material that he's going to put on his website. Very timely for this call, because now you've reminded us that we need to put this material on the website. Please go and look at it. But in addition to that, take the same material. Insist, no, don't ask. Insist that the churches within your community, you must find a church in your. And listen, if the black churches won't do it, forget them. Then go to the white churches. If the white churches, you're going to get some action, because there are some conscious white people who know that this behavior is intolerable and it should not be. And so if you can't find an ally with our own brothers and sisters because they're too afraid because of what they think they're going to lose, then go over to the white folks who are in a conscious mindset, who want to see justice be done right, and see if they will allow themselves to then open up to having the training being done and also be available so that when we make those phone calls and we say one of our young people are in trouble, one of them is being attacked, one of them is in custody, that we formed ourselves a pack, as it were. We formed ourselves a watch group. That's what I'm talking about. I am talking about a watch group.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. Thank that caller for the response. I wanted to go back. Do you have anything else you would like to add, caller?
No, not at this time, but thank you for your answer.
Thank you. Please contact your ACLU, and I'll be posting at our website on my Facebook and getting it out. So you can stay on the line with us. We hope that you do. Dr. Kennedy, you know, I want to go back here just for a second, because I want to read something to you. And I believe you brought up Sandra Bland's name today. And I'm connecting the dots here, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to go to Sandra Bland. I'm going to show you the comparison here of the anger and violence. Now, both of these, I believe, if I'm not right, please correct me. That Sandra Bland officer was a white police officer, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. This police officer here with this young sister in South Carolina, I believe, was a white police officer from what I'm seeing in the video. Now, we understand when Sandra Bland was smoking her cigarette, right? I believe the officer told her to put it out. I believe, if I'm correct, please correct me if I'm wrong. And she refused. And then that's when the anger and the violence came out of this police officer. Am I correct on that, Dr. Kennedy?
Oh, my God, yes. The video.
Okay, now, watch this now. Watch this now, Dr. Kennedy. Now, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read this to you off. I'm reading this to you right off the Internet. When she refused to leave her seat in the classroom at Springville High School in Columbia, he tells her, "I'll make you." All right, now right there, that's where the anger came out at. And so when we refuse as black people, not that we're breaking the law, we're just disagreeing with you. Right? Sandra Bland didn't break the law by saying, "No, I don't want to put out my cigarette." She just disagreed. When this young lady in the classroom said, "No, I disagree with you. I don't believe I have to leave." He said, I'll make you. And with Sandra Bland, the police officer then got violent and basically pulled her out the car and took her on the side of the road and beat her and put his knee in her back. Now, here's the part that gets me with the young lady in South Carolina. I really want our listening audience to listen to this, because this is very crucial now. He said, "I'll make you." This is the officer in South Carolina telling our young sister. He then wrapped his arm around her neck. This is the police officer. Wrapped his arm around her neck after she disagreed with him. Then he flipped her desk backwards, then drug her across the floor. He arrested both the girl and a male student. Okay, now, Dr. Kenny, I'm telling you that because I need you to dissect those two scenarios I just gave you. Now, to me, I'm thinking that they're similar, but maybe they're not similar. But I see rage when it comes to when we, as a black person, we disagree with a white police officer, and then they get very violent.
Well, Brother Harris, I am not even going to disagree with you tonight. You are right on the button. There is a similarity. And so the question becomes, what is it about these police officers that causes them to be in such rage? Now, we understand that they have targeted our black males because, again, when Reagan was in office, 1980, Reagan was elected under that new right, neoliberal ideology. And so his whole Reaganomics was about looking at the crisis around capitalism. And then he went in and decided that he was going to criminalize drug users and criminalize, because they've already studied us as people. They've invited the sociologists to study us, our behavior. They've invited the anthropologists to study us, black folks, our behavior. They've invited the criminology department to study us and give them statistics. So they think they've got their finger on the pulse about us as black people. So they started profiling our black men. And that's why our prison systems have been so full with our black men. Now they've switched off a little bit, and they started coming to the women because they knew that at the end of the day, us black sisters are going to stand up strong and stand up tall for our black men. After all, we are birthing these men into the world. And so for some reason, these white police officers become so enraged when we stand up to them, because they still believe that black people should not stand up. We should not have a backbone. Who in the heck do we think we are, challenging them and their authority? Some of those guys, if you took off their blue suits and took away the guns, they would be little pussycats. But because the uniform makes them feel like they're big, it makes them feel like they are bigger than the law. Obviously, it is, because here is a man who believes that he can grab somebody, put his hand on somebody with all of those that are witnessing, and can drag her. The same way the white police thought that he could just get upset and get enraged. If he could have touched Sandra Bland, he would have. Because the way he yelled at that woman, just look at the rage. I am asking the Department of Correction, why are you hiring these people who have such rage? What kinds of psychological evaluations are you giving them? When they come off of a shift, what are you doing to make sure that they are not melting down in an inappropriate way? What are they going on? The statistics show that police officers have such high domestic violence. So they know that they're breeding these kinds of people into their force, and they do nothing with them other than give them a gun and give them the license to shoot. Then something is wrong with the system. It means that we, the people, are okay in that behavior, and there is a group of people who says Black Lives Matter that are saying enough is enough. We're not going to take this. And so if you don't understand what we mean when we say Black Lives Matter, that's exactly what we're saying. I know you're hearing us talking about, well, the white police and the white police and the white police. Let me say something to you, audience. If it was even a black police officer that thought he could get away with stuff like that, if he thought he could get away with that, let me tell you something. He could not get away with it. Because even as a black police officer, if he even tried to act crazy, like how his counterparts are, he would never get the protection. He would never get the same coverage and the same protection from the union as his white counterpart does. So he's got some good sense not to even go there, because he'll be the one that is thrown under the bus. So even as a black police officer, he still does not get the same opportunity to show his manliness, to show his anger, to show his frustration, because he's the one that will be thrown under the bus. This is why we Black Lives Matter, because it's not an equal life. And so we are calling it like it is. How dare that police officer put his hand on her in public where someone can see that? And how dare that police officer yell and shout at Sandra Bland simply because she did not want to put her cigarette out? And how dare you, as a black person that's listening to the show, say, well, you know, if they don't know how to act right, then they get what's given to them. How dare you victimize your own black people even more when you know that the system has never had any balance for us whatsoever? We've got to change the system. We've got to change the system.
There you have Dr. Gene Kennedy. I want to thank those who tuning in. We have 5 seconds. Tune into the archives. The show will be going off. If you're listening to the internet, that's why we like folks to call in so that they can stay on the show until 8:45. We will be, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, getting to be on the air for 2 hours now because there's so much going on across the country, and we just want to be able to hear your voice, give you a voice, give you an opportunity to be able to say what's on your mind, what's on your heart. We want to hear we want to hear the passion in your voice. And we also, you know, we have a right. We have a right to protest for what's right. When we see something wrong in our community, we want to be able to have an airway where you're not censored, where you're not given a time limit to talk. We want you. We want to empower you as our people. Dr. Kennedy, I guess you can hear it in my voice. I'm a loss for words right now because I have a daughter, okay, and I have a granddaughter. I have two granddaughters, and I just cannot. I'm putting myself right now. I'm intentionally putting myself in the shoes of this young lady parents. I'm putting myself intentionally in the home right now, looking at their daughter who was violated, who was misused, who was abused. I will even take it to the conversation. She was raped of her constitutional right and her human rights by this police officer. And all of a sudden now we get to hear that the police officer goes home on a vacation with pay. I mean, I don't know where we at in this country that this officer can go home after he just abused our young sister. She is traumatized in the system that has been put in place by our white brothers and sisters, the so-called forefathers of this country, has made laws in this country to benefit them only, but to oppress us. Dr. Kennedy, how can someone put their arms around the neck of a child? That's barbaric. And flip her desk over and drag. Now, I want to get to the conversation of dragging now. Dragging. Because, see, in slavery, dragging was something that was done very often. Okay? Very often it was done by the plantation master. He would take two horses and tie the legs of a black man and hit the two horses on their tailbone, and they will pull our black brother together apart or our sister apart. In Texas, they drug our brother behind a truck to where his limbs of his body was just torn apart. I want to get to the dragging part because, see, Dr. Kennedy, I don't think we really understand that it's not just this young lady traumatized, but we have a whole classroom full of students traumatized because they can't even understand. I mean, if you look at the video, you will see that the students, all of them were just sitting there like they couldn't believe what was going on. I mean, it wasn't that the student was running, trying to get it go out for safety. They were all sitting there looking like this was normal. This is supposed to happen. And just luckily, Dr. Kennedy, that the training that we've been doing with Cop Watch, Know Your Rights, it paid off because someone in that classroom had enough sense and enough control to take out their phone and to record what happened. Because if they did record, the officer, he would not be put on administrative leave. Our young sister would be in jail right now, handcuffed, ready to go to court. Dr. Kennedy, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, it hurts me. I'm a mother, and I feel your pain, my brother. I just can't even imagine what I would do if I realized that was one of somebody that I knew I could put a name and a face on. And I know right now the parents have got to be wondering, you know, just what just happened here. You see, it's interesting. These behaviors aren't going to happen with white people. Because, you see, white people aren't going to go to NAACP trying to get them to decide whether or not they're going to take this case or not. You see, white people aren't going to go to some organization in their community and say, are you guys going to come behind me and can you help me with the situation? Black people don't play. When it comes to their children and comes to them exercising their laws, they don't play because they know that the law represents them. And so they would be right there finding the best of the best attorneys and taking the whole system down. But we, for black folks, we got to second guess ourselves. We got to wonder, well, okay, did my kid do something wrong to deserve this? Let me go over to this organization and see if they can help. Or let me see where I'm going to find the money to see if I can get me a high-power attorney who may say, well, I'm not going to take your case if you can't put down a retainer. We as a community of blacks have got to get ourselves together. Do we not know what time of the day this is? And if you're only going to take a case because you need the retainer, for goodness sake, this often happens to people who don't have money, who don't have resources. They're not picking on the black. This was not a private school. Look where the school was located. Look at this is a public school that this is going on. And so, again, we cannot be any longer being reactionary. We have to be proactive. For someone to do this and to feel that it was perfectly okay to do this in the sight of witnesses to do this, there is violence. There is a lot of violence that's going on right now with our police department. We have our counterparts. We have our Republicans. We have Fox. We have these other medias that will say, well, wait up. You're just talking about the isolated situation. You're just talking about the one or two. This is not the entire police force. Listen to me. All it takes is one bad apple. You go out and buy yourself a half a dozen apples tonight and let there be one bad apple in there, and within a few days all these apples become corrupt. You got to throw out the whole bag of apples that you bought. I'm looking right here and seeing where officer is caught raining by punching on suspect after a high-speed chase happening just right here on the 15th of this month. And you're telling me these are just isolated cases? We just had Sandra Bland recently. We just had this situation on here. We're having now North Carolina. Oh, come on, people. Can we get real? Come on, people. Can we be honest? Come on, people. Can we put our fears aside and begin to stand up? The world, the international world is asking, why is it that black people are not standing up for their rights? Come on, people. Do you love your lifestyle in such a way that you don't want to stand up for your own people? We have got to do things much better than what we're doing. And we can.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. I just want to be respectful to our caller who is with us, 5781. 5781, we want to thank you for tuning in to our show. Please tell other folks about our show. We do a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of dissecting here. And I just want to go back to you. If you have a statement or comment, if you don't, that's fine. 5781, do you have a statement or comment?
Actually, I do have a comment. And it's more so a question. And that is, if police officers are going to be put on paid administrative leave, it's saying that there are no repercussions for what it is that they're doing. It's saying that they don't have to fear doing anything that it is that they're doing. So what can we do as a community to assure that our children are safe and don't have to deal with retaliation from the police department or any of the officers that are on paid administrative leave?
Well, I'll go ahead and answer it, Dr. Kennedy. It's not. Wow, that's a good question. It's not something that is put in stone. I would argue that Congress and the Supreme Court has to make stronger laws to prosecute rogue Nazi police. I don't care if they're black, white, yellow, I don't care who it is. When they pull a trigger on someone in our community, they first of all need to be drug tested. That's the first problem we have in America. Because, see, a lot of our police officers are under a lot of stress, and they're taking prescription medicine drugs. So they don't have to go down to the corner to buy the drugs from the guy selling on the corner. They go to their doctor and get prescription drugs to get high. And so when they go out on the beat and they do something wrong, there's no accountability. They're not being drug tested or even psychologically evaluated. Dr. Kennedy, can you chime on that about the psychological piece of post-traumatic stress of our police officers? We have like 3 minutes left, Dr. Kennedy.
Well, again, what we're talking about is policy. These policies are not in place. And so, therefore, because it's not in their manual, it's not in place, they're not accountable. And so it really requires that there be something put in place. And the unions are going to fight us on this because the unions are the ones that protect these police when the time comes. And so, yes, we're saying that they should be. There should be something that says you should be drug tested within the day of that crime. If you've shot someone, if you've yanked at someone, if you've fooled someone, if you've dragged someone, you ought to be taken to the lab. If you and I are working on a job and there's an accident on the job, they require you to be drug tested. And so if we, on a common assembly line, has an accident, or you're working in your office and you have an accident, and you're required to go through because it's a workman's comp, they want to make sure you can pee in that cup and make sure you have nothing going on. If there's something in your system, then it's being accountable for. These police are not asked to be peed into a cup. So you don't know what they're on. And Reverend Harris, you hit the nail on the head. It doesn't have to be street drugs. But they're taking all kinds of whatever they're taking. And then again, the next thing is they do have to be psychologically tested. What is it that's going on with them, why they are the way they are? What is making them respond and react the way they are? These all require policies. This requires you going to your city managers and your city officials and making sure that these things be put in as a training device, as a manual, as a must. And it has to be legislated. There have to be consequences when these things are not done right. And so we, the people, have to speak up, and we have to become more proactive so that we say city by city, enough is enough. So begin to look in your own city, and you begin to say, what can we do as a group of people to begin to put some things in place? Do not be afraid, because your fear will be the thing that hurts you in the long run.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. I hope we answered the caller's question, Dr. Kennedy, and I believe that we did. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Is police shootings are going to stop today? No. Is police officers going to shoot and go on paid administrative leave? Yeah. But I believe that we have to start organizing our cities locally. See, one of the things, Dr. Kennedy, before we get off the show, I got to say this, Dr. Kennedy, because I know that people say I'm very hard on mayors and I recall politicians. But you know what? I want to give Mayor Steve Benjamin his props, okay, of Columbia, because he said we cannot and will not accept this kind of behavior from law enforcement officer, and I firmly believe that we need an independent investigation. Dr. Kennedy, I've never heard a mayor across America ever said that they wanted an independent investigation of his police department. So that's telling me that he don't even believe, have faith in his own internal investigation, that he wants the Department of Justice to come in and do an independent investigation. What are your thoughts about that, Dr. Kennedy, in 1 minute?
He is being transparent. He is being transparent, and you cannot ask for anything more than that. He is saying, look, let us start with my area. Let's have you come in and do what you need to do, because he's being transparent. When you are being transparent, then you make yourself accountable, and that's all that we're asking.
All right, Dr. Kennedy, we're at the end of our show. We promise you we're going to start going for 2 hours. I'm going to be passing a hat around the country so that we can get on the air for 2 hours, because this is 45 minutes. We're blessed, but it's just too short now. We have a lot to say. The motto in our organization, we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize to take our community to a higher level. And Bob Marley, tell us what, Dr. Kennedy? What does Bob Marley tell us?
Bob Marley says, one love, one love. My skin color is not a crime. One love, brothers and sisters, one love.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back here tomorrow to dissect this one more time. Reverend Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy. Your own revolutionary Reverend Harris from the West Coast and Dr. Gene Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia, who is with us out on the West Coast. And we say good night.